I am excited to start a new series today, a three-week series where we are going to dive deep into what it means to catch a vision for what Jesus would want from us this fall, this year. And so I'll say more about that in a second. But just to welcome all of you, I mean, it's such a joy to be together. And at the core of who we are as a church, we want to be a people apprenticed to the life of Jesus. Some of you will know that for the last couple of years, we've been focusing a ton on what we call discipleship. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus? And we really love the word apprenticeship. We think that the word apprenticeship really helps us understand the word discipleship. Because apprenticeship has this blend of learning and career, knowledge and application. And so I was thinking about this when it comes to my children. Tanya and I have three children, ages 7, 6, and 4. And they're at this place where they're watching every move we make. And the words that are coming out of their mouths are the words that have come out of our mouths, which is, really a holy moment. In those, you know, you just go, okay, where did you hear that? Oh, I know where you heard that. Yeah, you heard that from us. And so we're aware of how we're speaking. We're aware of how we're acting because they're like little sponges. They're just soaking up what they see in their mother and father. And so there's beautiful moments, right? There are moments where we watch them pray and they're praying and you're like, oh, their prayers are, in many ways are being formed by the prayers that they hear in Tanya and I. But also there have been some beautiful moments where in the morning when I wake up to read the Bible and they're just sitting on the couch and they grab one of their children's Bibles and they look at the pictures, right? I think of my 4-year-old Micah, who can't read yet, but he's looking at the pictures and just quietly in the morning. And those are those beautiful moments where you can see this apprenticeship thing happening where hopefully Tanya and I are, one of our number one duties in life is to point these three children to love Jesus. We want them to be apprenticed to Jesus. And we know that in their life, they're going to have to make that choice for themselves, whether they want to follow Jesus or not. But for us, we want to point them in that right direction. And we also know apprenticeship can go poorly at times. Like our children know that at any weak moment, they can suggest ice cream pretty much at any time of the day. And their mother and father will likely bend to that suggestion. And I know some of you are way better parents than that, and you'll never bend, and your children never eat sugar, and that's great for you. But Tanya and I have a different journey that we're on. We like ice cream whenever. Okay, but this is this idea of apprenticeship, like growing, watching and doing, and having our lives shaped by the King, by Jesus. And that's what we want in our lives. And so what does an apprentice of Jesus look like? Well, if you are new to Christianity or you're just kind of tuning in and maybe someone has introduced you to our church this is maybe one of the first times you're live streaming, it's what it means to be a follower, to watch Jesus, to do what Jesus did, to do what he has asked us to do. And that's our journey as a church, to be a people apprentice to the life of Jesus. But is a disciple or an apprentice a higher level Christian, like a missionary or something like that, or really good at Christian Jeopardy or something like that? No, that's a bad way to look at it. There are not two tiers of Jesus followers, kind of like, oh, normal Christians that are in level one, but then kind of dangerously too into it Christians level two, right, that you bump up to that. That's not true, that Christ Jesus has asked all of us to follow him. His plan is to welcome all of us into the discipleship journey of following him. And so he says this in Matthew 4:19. He says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. This invitation is for you. Let me say it again. These are Jesus' words. He looks at you, and he says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. This invitation Jesus gives all of us is to come and to receive his life. What kind of life does Jesus offer? He offers a forgiving, a transforming, a redeeming, a reworking, a rewiring, a reviving, an abundant, an eternal life. He offers it to you. And he says, come. You can participate in this life. I'm going to have to do a lot of rewiring and reworking in your life, but come, I love you. I love you enough to transform you and change you. And on this journey, as an apprentice of Jesus, he not only gives me life, but he uses me and he uses you to point others to his life. And so what we want to be are disciples who make disciples. That you're not called just to be a receiver, but you in your life are called to point others to the one who gives life, to make disciples yourself. That's the calling. That's what you're part of. That's not just for missionaries or pastors or elders or whatever. It's for you. It's for all of us. And so we're all called into this beautiful journey of being disciples. Last week, you heard Jason Ballard do an excellent job encouraging us to point others in our life who don't know Jesus to Jesus. And that step one could be the Alpha course. That was beautiful. I'm so encouraged by that. And I hope that the conversations have begun with neighbors or friends or coworkers saying, I want to be a disciple who makes disciples. And the first step is to welcome them to know Jesus. Dallas Willard writes this. He says, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. And so what this means, North Langley, is that Jesus is about every part of your life. He wants to see every part of your life transformed and changed by him. And so for the next 3 weeks, we want to explore three spaces or three spheres where we see our apprenticeship to Jesus lived out. And especially in this COVID-19 world that we're living in, we as leaders of North Langley, our whole staff team got together, and we feel that if we can prioritize three areas in our following Jesus, that this will give us so much clarity as all of us journey deeper into this pandemic as we try to be faithful to Jesus. So I'm going to use a piece of paper here, and I don't often do this, so I might just totally not do a great job at this, but I want to draw what the Lord has kind of placed on our hearts when it comes to following Jesus. And so I'm going to draw this out. What does it look like to be an apprentice to Jesus during this season? And so we, as leaders, have kind of identified three areas. And I'm going to try to draw three circles, and I might do a very poor job of these three circles. Some of them don't look like circles, but anyway, you get the picture. Now, there's some overlap, but for the next 3 weeks, we're going to journey, and we're going to focus on one of these spheres or one of these areas in our following Jesus. And so I want to just list them for you here. So the first week, that's today, here in a minute, we'll explore what it means to worship together. Seems pretty basic, but there's a lot to say. Worship together. Next week, we'll explore what it means to experience life together. I really hope I'm going to spell all this correctly. And then the third week, we're going to learn what it means to love one another. So, here's what this means. We believe that those of us who are called to follow Jesus as his disciples have to focus on three areas. And I hope if you've been feeling a little bit foggy during COVID or feeling like directionless during COVID, our hope is that in the month of September that you're going to feel that everything, the clouds can part, and you're given just clarity from Jesus in what to do in these three areas. So first of all, we're going to talk about what does it look like to worship on Sunday? What does that look like in your life? Who are the people that you are called to worship with on an ongoing rhythm as you follow Jesus? Next week, we'll look at who is that small community in your life that you're walking with? Who are the people that you would confess your sin to? The people that you would lean upon? The people that you are learning with? Who is that small group of people that you're called to walk with as a follower of Jesus? And finally, COVID-19 has made us so insular and isolated and pulled away from each other, but the greatest call of a disciple of Jesus is how we can use our life to love one another. And so we're going to focus a whole week on what it means to look outside of yourself, to think beyond yourself, and to think of what it means to love others. And there's lots of categories in that, but just our hope is that you would get clarity, that in the next 3 weeks, as we follow Jesus, we would say, Jesus, what does Sunday worship look like? How can I worship with others? Could you give me clarity? What are you calling me to? And who's the small group? And who am I called to love? And so I hope that by the end of September, you're praying, you're discerning, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. And by the end, that you will have clarity from Jesus, a clear roadmap in terms of what the fall will look like as we journey deeper into the pandemic. So that's a little bit of a picture of where we're going to go. And you'll notice there's lots of overlap during these weeks, and that's fine. That's great. So week one here, we're going to focus on worship together. Worship together. I don't know if you've done the Tim Tam Slam before. Anyone here in the room? Have you done the Tim Tam Slam? Let's see your hands. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, 8 of you. 8 of you out of 50. That's good. So Tim Tams. Tim Tams are these Australian chocolate biscuits. And it's a ton of fun. You gather a group of people together, and you do the Tim Tam Slam, which means you grab this little chocolate biscuit, you bite some edges, and you use it as a straw. I know this sounds really weird midway through a sermon, but you're using this like chocolate biscuit as a straw. You turn it around, you pop it into your mouth, and it fills your mouth with this amazing chocolatey goodness. Now, some of you who have done the Tim Tam Slam know there's particular rules, and there's different rules that people have, but here's three of the rules that I learned. And number one, if it's a bad experience, it's not the fault of the product. Basically, it's your fault. You did it wrong. You did not do the Tim Tam Slam correctly. Number two, at the end of the Tim Tam Slam, you're supposed to say, chocolatey goodness. And number three, this is the one that I want to focus on today, you never slam alone. That's a big, important thing. You always slam, you do the Tim Tam Slam in community. As I was working on this, I thought of the Tim Tam Slam. I thought, yeah, one of the key rules is you never slam alone. And I think as we follow Jesus as his apprentices, he would say, don't worship alone. Never worship alone. You are not called to worship alone. You're called to worship together. You're called into a body, into a family, and you're called to worship together. I want us to listen to Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews is just, he's blown away by the work of Jesus on the cross and the access that Jesus has provided for us as followers of Jesus, access to God and into his presence. And he writes this. Verse 19 to 25, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we've confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Catch that. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So beautiful. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And this is key here in North Langley. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is massive. What is the writer of Hebrews encouraging us to do? To draw near and to not stop meeting together. It's very clear. Draw near. Because of the work of Jesus on the cross, you are welcome to draw near and do not stop meeting together. Jesus, through his death on the cross, he opens up a way for us. And we've been invited together to not stop meeting together, to worship together. The pandemic has made isolation so much easier, has it not? Isolation has fanned the flames of division, hyperpolarized politics, addiction to screens, and loneliness. The pandemic has made isolation so much easier, pulling away from people, pulling away from community. Introverts, let me give a little note to introverts. To my introverted friends, I know that COVID has had this bizarre enjoyment to it for you, right? When I talk to introverts, they're going, you know what? It is sad. We're in a pandemic. It's awful. It's tragic. But this has been kind of nice. Like, I've really enjoyed kind of pulling away, having my time alone. And I know, I acknowledge there's a beautiful gift to slowing down. We have all enjoyed a bit of a gift of simplicity, of increased margin in life. I felt it too. I've totally felt it. It's wonderful. And I think there's a lot of gifts there that we were ignoring in the past when we were just busy doing lots of stuff. So it's good. But the pandemic has brought with it a gravitational pull into isolation and at times apathy. It's a life curved inward. You'll know that I really appreciate this picture that Augustine and Martin Luther 500 years ago picked up from Augustine, but it's a picture of God's life or the life of sin. And so they describe, these are two Latin phrases. In Latin, incurvatus in se is a life of sin and isolation. It's a life that curves inward. But excurvatus ex se is the life of God. It's a life that curves upward and outward, towards God and towards others, loving God and loving others. Now, let me just describe this. In the pandemic, it feels like we were, in many ways, some of us, in really healthy places, in community, in worship, in serving. But slowly in the pandemic, we've curved inward. We've moved into isolation, and we have stopped some of the beautiful rhythms that we used to live. And we've kind of pulled inward and into ourselves, and we become hyper-focused on the self. Now, again, I want to say there's some good elements to that, but a lot of it is pulling us further into isolation, and it's not good. But that the life of God is this, is upward and outward. It's slowly going, God, I'm exposed to your love. I'm exposed to your truth through your scriptures. I'm exposed to you through worship, and I want to receive your love, and I'm loving others, and my life is curving upward and outward, ex curvatus exe. This is what it means to love God and love others. And so as we move into a new year in North Langley, with no end in sight, with these COVID restrictions, we as shepherds of North Langley want to be absolutely clear that you will need to practice worship together in some form, and I'll get into that in a second. In some form, you'll need to gather on Sundays. We're urging you to gather on Sundays. And I'll talk about health, and I'll talk about the size of that, and I'll talk about all those details in a second. But we believe that as we follow Jesus faithfully, some normal practice of gathering together in worship with others will be massively important as you follow Jesus this fall. So, we at North Langley, we have two options for this. One, we're calling home church, and the other are our on-site gatherings. Home church and on-site gatherings. Let's get into this. So first of all, option one, home church. We've been chatting about home church for the last few months. Some of you might be brand new to hearing this, or you may have heard it a lot. But today I want to kind of officially reveal home church as the option for our church. I want to thank all of you, the groups that have already started meeting together. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We've seen pictures of you gathered either in backyards or in living rooms, and you're worshiping together. Thank you so much for being early adopters as part of this vision. But today, we officially want to launch our home churches. So let's listen in a fresh way as to what this could look like in your life. So home church, and hear it with new ears, if that makes any sense. New ears. Okay, fresh ears. Home church is any small group of people that gather to worship Jesus together. Any small group. Small group. You don't have to have 50 people at your house. You don't have to have 20 people. You don't have to have 10 people. It could be a few of you. It could be three individuals who come together to gather together in a safe way to worship God together. It could be one household of people that invite one other household of people together on a Sunday as a normal practice and rhythm to worship together. Hear me say, this is not 50 people in your living room. This is not even 20 people in your living room. This may not even be your life group. Your life group might be too big according to doing things safely. Your life group might have to split in half or into three groups or whatever. This could simply be one household inviting one or two other households into a space of worship. It's two families. It's one family opening up their living room to someone who's single, to a married couple, inviting them over. And if your home is large enough, you can do a bit more. If your home is not very large, then do what you can with the space that you have. How is Jesus calling you to welcome some friends together, to practice the rhythm of worship together? We know that things like weather, okay, rain's coming, right? We know that. So we're going to have to move indoors. We know that the health of your friends will impact this. We know that the size of your home, we know that the technology that's available to you will impact all of this. There are variables that are at play, and we get that. And that's okay. The goal is simply for several of you to gather together to worship Jesus together. Again, we think as leaders that this is a massive opportunity for all of us to grow as followers of Jesus. Now, what does home church look like? Well, here's the most simple way to do this. Gather together in that small group and tune into the live stream. That's it. Come together, watch the live stream together. It can be as simple as that. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. You watch the live stream, enjoy it together. But let's build on that. Let's see if we can build on that. So maybe one of you decides, the one who's hosting, to make a pot of coffee. Go for it, right? Maybe some of you want to bring some donuts. Go for it. Maybe some of you on Communion Sunday want to prepare in a safe way the communion elements and bring them to the group. Some of you may want to really step out and say one of you has a passion for leading worship. And so with masks on, as you sing, one of you brings out the acoustic guitar and is able to lead in a couple songs before the live stream starts. That's beautiful. Go for it. Some of you wants to lead out in prayer. Maybe one of you wants to read the scripture verse for that Sunday. Go for it. Again, but what I'm saying is if only several of you are gathered in your living room and you watch the live stream, that's good. That's good. Take that first step. And maybe as the months go on, you can grow it. Maybe when the live stream is over, you can turn to each other and ask what the Holy Spirit was saying to each of you as you tuned in to the worship experience. Again, start simple, but you can grow that home church worship together. So I hope that you're catching on. I hope that this is making sense, because worshiping together, it's what disciples, followers, apprentices of Jesus, it's what they do. They're called together as the body to worship together. Now, I want to chat really quick about some health concerns. I know all of us have health concerns. We're wondering how we can do this in a safe way. And I need to rabbit trail for just a second. I need to say some of us in our church family, so remember, I'm just looking at our whole church family, some of us are, you could describe, in a little bit more of a cautionary zone. And so for you, you've got lots of questions, maybe even some fears about gathering together in a group like that. You've got lots of questions, and you want to make sure that these are safe places. And for you, maybe you're immunocompromised and it just will not work. And so we'll say more about that in a second. There are others in our church family that find all the restrictions ridiculous and are finding that the government is putting too many restrictions. And I know, these two groups, we're all part of the same family, right? And so I think that this fall we have a beautiful opportunity, an amazing opportunity to love one another here and not to see divisions continue to polarize, right? But actually to go, how can we, even though we think differently about this pandemic, how can we come together and worship together in a safe way as we move forward? This really is a chance for us to hear each other and love one another. All right, so we have a document online called Home Church Health Guidelines. It's a PDF. So for those of you who are interested, I think we've had some health people look at that PDF and give us the go-ahead, so that's good. And so you can think clearly and safely about how would I serve food, or what does it mean to wear masks when we worship, or is it just when we gather? And so you've got questions about that, but feel free to read that PDF. The reality is that this fall, our home churches might have to look a little bit smaller, right? As we're listening to restrictions, we're going, okay, these might have to be even smaller groups than we had previously thought, but that's okay. It's still worth it. Let's still do this. Couple other things about home church. If it only works for you to gather as a family, now some of you, you've heard what I've said here and you're like, no, our family, due to health, things going on in our family, we cannot meet with anyone else. Then could I encourage you, what could you do to make that a really intentional time within your family? What are some ways in which you can pray together, which you can share some beautiful moments of reading scripture together or welcoming your children into that worship moment? Your family can still have that beautiful worship together experience. And so if it only works to worship as a family unit, it's okay. And by us promoting home church, we're not trying to kind of sideline you and your family. We recognize that's a real thing. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. But how can you be intentional, even within your family, about Sunday worship? Secondly, if you are immunocompromised and you actually need to be alone, maybe you live alone, you need to stay alone. And my question to you, first of all, I want to tell you, God loves you deeply. He loves you deeply, and I'm so glad that you're tuned in to the live stream. We hope that can be a practice for you. But my question to you is, who can you call before the service to pray together? Who can you call after the service to debrief and say, okay, what did you learn? What did you learn? How can we pray with one another? So that there's this beautiful accountability in worship. And so you can still share that experience with a friend if you feel like gathering with others is not for you. So home churches, if you are gathering, if it's just like 3, 4, 5, 6 of you in a living room, would you please sign up? We would love to hear that. We'd love to encourage you. We want to keep you connected. We want to send you some helpful ideas and tools along the way. So feel free to sign up. You might still have tons of questions. And if you're wondering why, what if I can't host every week? Or what if I want to host but not lead? What about kids? How are they supposed to be involved in home church? All of these and more are answered on our church website, and which leads me to say a huge thanks to our own pastor, Tim McCarthy, for all the great work that he's done. He's poured a lot of time and effort into this, and he's answered tons of questions. So be sure that you read that online and or reach out to Tim, and he'd love to chat with you. Okay, but I mentioned two options. One's home church, and the other is our on-site gatherings. We are excited to do what we can to open up our building with several spots in our building to be able to gather in smaller groups. We can't go above the 50 number, but to gather in smaller groups to worship together. And thank you again, all of you here this Sunday, for being here at one of our on-site gatherings. Monday evenings at 7 p.m., you can sign up. You can go online and sign up for the next Sunday to be part of worship. Now, why are we doing on-site gatherings? Isn't that like a conflict with home church? We don't think so. We don't think so. So what would it look like for you several weeks of the month to gather in a small group in a home church, but maybe once a month to come to an on-site gathering? And here's why. First, it's a way of reconnecting with other members of the church that are not in your normal circle, that you have not seen in a while. It's a beautiful way of being part of the larger church community. Even in this room right now, a bunch of you haven't seen each other in quite a while. And my encouragement is don't run away, but in a safe way, gather afterwards, reconnect, and see the people that maybe it's been a while. It's been 6 months since the pandemic started. And this is a beautiful way, our on-site gatherings, of reminding each other we're part of a larger family. And second, it's a perfect way for those who are brand new to North Langley to come. It's going to be very hard for someone who's new to North Langley, and maybe that's you who's live streaming this, to come for the very first time to a home church. You don't yet know anybody. So we want to offer these on-site gatherings as well for those of you who are brand new to our church family and to say, come experience worship together on-site. So all this to say, again, as we move into a new year with no end in sight with COVID restrictions, how is Jesus calling you into worship together? What does it look like? I want to end with the why. Why? Some of you are still going, I'm not sure. Why is this important? Why is it important to worship together? And I want to give you three quick reasons. Number one, you need a rhythm and an accountability as you follow Jesus. You need it. You need it. Can I give an image? Whenever you want to work out and get healthy, you oftentimes will find a friend or two and go, let's go to the gym together. Let's do this together, right? In the same way, you need that accountability and that community to keep you on track. How many of us during the pandemic have kind of drifted away from worship, right? We've drifted away from worship, and we need each other to find that rhythm and that accountability in our worship. It will shape us. I'm wondering right now, those of you who are watching this, how many of your friends have drifted away from worship? Could some of them be people that you invite into your living room and to say, hey, would you come? Let's worship together. This is you fishing for people. This is you, a disciple making disciples, and you say, come, join us. And you don't have to say that. I know you've drifted away from worship. You don't say that. No, you just say, come, join me for worship on Sunday, right? And that would be a beautiful invitation. So first of all, it's a rhythm and an accountability. Secondly, we are a picture of God's together family. Listen to the prayer that Jesus prays in John 17. He prays for us. And John 17, verses 20 and 21, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, North Langley. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What Jesus is saying is that something about worship together, something about Christian community, something about the love for one another and the unity that Christians experience together is a sign to the world that the gospel works. That our unity, even when we think differently about things, our love for each other and our community together is, our gathering together is a visible sign that Jesus is who he says he is. Let me say it this way. Our togetherness in a fractured world shows the world that the gospel works. I want to say that again. Our togetherness amidst a fractured world shows the world that the gospel works. In a divided world, as we love one another, we want to be together because of Jesus. All right. So it's a rhythm and a discipline, right? Accountability. Number two, it shows that the gospel works. Right, our togetherness, our love for one another. And number three, we are members of a body. You can't do this alone. You were never meant to do this alone. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 writes about the church, and he uses this image of a body. You are not a Lone Ranger Christian. We need each other's presence. We need each other's perspective. We need each other's gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 says, 12 to 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And Paul will go on to say, you have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to be used in the context of community in worship together. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and see those gifts at work in your worship together. You're the eye. I'm the ear. You're a hand, right? But all of us together form the body of Christ. We need each other. You cannot do this alone. You can't worship alone. You need one another, our presence, the perspective, and the gifts, because we're part of a body. One of the final images I want to give here is that of a sailboat. I really like this image, and when you think about a sailboat, you can think about the sailboat, and the sails are down, right? And the wind is blowing, but maybe I'm like the ship that's just kind of bobbing in the waves. And I'm going nowhere. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. The sail's not up. But the wind is blowing. And the wind here is a beautiful image. It's the image that the Bible gives us of the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is blowing, right? And all the Spirit is asking of us is simply to lift the sail. Lift the sail. Invite some people into worship. Invite some people into this community to worship together. And as you lift the sail and say, Holy Spirit, come, the wind will hit that sail and your boat, your life, will begin to go someplace, right? Will begin to move in the direction that Jesus wants it to. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Fill these little home churches with your very presence. We lift the sail. We invite each other in. And we pray that you would do something this fall that is powerful among us. That you would remind us of your love every time we meet. That you would fill us with a love for one another. And that we would learn to follow you together. Holy Spirit, come. What if this fall became a season where you were exposed to the love of God in a way beyond what you could have imagined? You realize that the old season of us gathering in this room, hundreds of us in this room, you connected with God, but yet this season, as you gathered in a home church, that God met you in a powerful way, in a new way, in a really unique way. I would love that. What if those who have drifted away from Jesus are welcomed back into hearing the gospel through your invitation to open up your living room and welcome them back? You've noticed that they're drifting and you love them and you say, come, let's worship together. Let's do this together. I would love that. For a while, the live streaming thing was exciting. It was new. 6 months ago when the pandemic hit, many people were tuned in to live streaming and they were like, this is new, this is interesting. We wanted to be tuned in. We wanted to stay connected. But slowly, as life has returned to normal in many ways, we've drifted. And I want the Holy Spirit to bring us together again. It's not about watching the live streaming. It's ultimately about worshiping Jesus together. It's too easy to be a spectator in a COVID world. And so how does Jesus want to give you clarity in our worship together? So again, worship together is today, that Jesus would give you clarity. Next week, we're going to talk about that small group that you're going to walk with in community. And week three, we'll talk about love for one another. Let's take a moment of silence as the worship team comes up. Would you close your eyes? Would you join me in prayer? Spirit of God, I lift up my brothers and sisters, and I pray that right now in this moment, you would give them clarity for what worship together would look like in their life. As they listen, Lord Jesus, to your Spirit, would you inspire them? Would you encourage them? King Jesus, we will not stop meeting together. Lord, we are one body. Show us how to do this safely. Show us how to do this in a way that honors and loves our neighbor. Show us how to do this in a way that honors you. And Lord, we know that your heart is to give us clarity about this. And so we pray that this fall, your name would be lifted up in beautiful ways, that you would be given glory and all honor together as we gather. God, I pray that gifts that your Spirit gives us would thrive in these small groups, that times of prayer would be beautiful, that the worship experience would just be beautiful together, that the hospitality would be warm, and that many who are drifting away from you would be welcomed back due to the friendly encouragement and open home of some of our members of our church family. And so, Lord God, we lift this fall up to you. Gather us together, Lord. We love you, and we lift up your name. Amen.